Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've brought us here today. Father, as we hear your word, please enable us to believe it. Father, keep your work of faith happening in our lives. Keep your work of obedience happening in our lives. And we ask in Jesus' name, Amen. What I'd like us to do now is think of the people that you live with, or think of the people that you used to live with, and were there or are there any annoying habits that they have? Perhaps things that they do a certain way, and you ask them, why do you do it that way? And they say, well, it's just always been done that way. So talk to the people around you, or behind you, or in front of you, and talk about any annoying habits the people that have, that you live with, or perhaps your own annoying habits. You might want to be honest in that way. So chat with the person next to you or those around you. What annoying habits do people have that you live with or used to live with? Okay, now, Ward, please continue your conversation about that over morning tea, after you grab your food with a napkin and tongs and got your food out on your plate, and dispose the napkin into the bin. So anybody like to volunteer? Are there any annoying habits happening in your home? Yes, Di. Oh. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, there's two. There's at least two. Oh, there's actually more than two in my house. That's my wife laughing down here. And actually, I forgot to ask my permission to say these, but I'm sure it's okay. I hope. Yeah, that's right. Now, one is. Now, this is my one. Okay. When I'm washing up, everything's got to be nice and neatly stacked on the right-hand side of the sink. Everything's got to be rinsed in order. You can't start washing up when there's plates and stuff everywhere, can you? No, that's right, yeah. Why? Well, yeah, use the dishwasher. It's always been done that way. And another habit in our house is that when the washing's put out, you've got to hang the washing out on a coat hanger in a certain way. Thank you. Why? Why is that? Saves money. It's always been done that way. Thank you. Okay. Things happen sometimes because I've always been done that way. Now today we go and continue in Romans 9-11. And you might remember that these chapters are all about answering this question. Why didn't many Jews respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ when first preached? Has the word of God failed? God promised in the Old Testament that he would save his people. But as the gospel went out from Jerusalem, not many Jews responded. Romans 9-11 provides the answer. And the first part of the answer, the first reason we've seen is this. God's way of saving people is always by election. God is the master potter, choosing to have mercy on some, choosing to harden the hearts of others. Why? It's all for his glory. It emphasizes the total control of God, that salvation is all of God. He chooses. At the same time, though, there's a response to make, isn't there? That's the second reason. God always works through faith. And Israel did not believe. And as we'll see today, as the message went out to the Israelites, time and time again, they refused to believe. See, there was a race going on for righteousness. The The Gentiles, non-Jews, they got it the right way, by faith. They came to God. Remember, if you were here last week, the Gentiles, it's us, we come to God with our hands empty. Hands empty. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. That's pursuing righteousness by faith. We've got nothing, God, you've got it all, you've done it all. We accept what you've done and doing. The wrong way is what the Jewish people were doing. They came to God with their hands full. Hands full. God, look at this, what I've done. I've kept the Sabbath. I pray. I fast. I give away a tenth of what I've got. All about external obedience. It wasn't as if it wasn't wrong for the Jews to pursue righteousness by the word of God. The problem was they were going about it the wrong way. They thought it was all about externals and not a heart response. And so they stumbled. They stumbled over Christ. They pursued God in an ignorant way, had a zeal for God but were ignorant. And then what do we do in response to that? What did the apostle do because of that? Remember last week, the way forward is passion and prayer. My heart's desire, Romans 10, 1 and 2, is that the Israelites will be saved. God, open their eyes. They're blind. By themselves, they can't see. Open their eyes, please. And that's the call for us as well. Because it's not just the Jews who are blind to God, it's the Gentiles as well. Many Gentiles pursue righteousness the wrong way, thinking it's all about externals and have a zeal for God, but it's in the wrong way. What's our response? Again, it's passion and prayer. And we want to help you in that. And up the back, if you'd like to pray for our different groups that happen during the week, particularly for our pantry, our self-defense classes, for the food pantry, the ESL, pray for those particular ministries as they happen, as the word of God goes out there, then put your name up the back. We love to supply regular prayer points for you. It's a way to express your passion, our passion in prayer for non-believers as we go about taking the word out together. And can I encourage you to keep praying for those people you thought of last week, if you were here. If you weren't here last week, we began to think about who are five non-Christians that we know that we can pray that God would open their eyes. Now, before I got us to think about some annoying habits that we have, it's always been done that way, so it's got to be that way. What does it say now? It's always been by faith. And there's nothing annoying about this. Except, of course, if you don't believe it. It's always been by faith. God has always worked by faith. So, got your Bible there? If not, that's okay. We're going to look at, first of all, actually, the need to show this. So the Jew could say, well, Paul, our scripture says, pursue God, pursue righteousness. And we think we're doing it the right way. The apostle says, no, hang on. You're pursuing it the wrong way, by works. What the apostle has to do is show that God has always worked by faith. Always look for a faith response. Never look for an external obedience. You've got to show it. Otherwise, the Jew could say, well, we're off the hook then, Paul. We're just following what the scripture says. So the need for this, you've got to show it. Otherwise, those who pursue God by externals are okay. So let's see what the apostle says. Now, this is a more literal translation of Romans 10 from verse 5. Moses writes about the righteousness that the law teaches. The person who does these things will live by them. And, there's no contrast happening here. The righteousness that is by faith also says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. What the Apostle Paul has done here is put two Old Testament passages side by side. And they're not in contrast. They're both saying the same thing. The first is from Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. And I give the verse before it to give a bit of context. You must obey my laws. This is Moses speaking, God speaking. Be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the person who obeys them will live by them. That's the first part of Romans 10, verse 5. And notice it says, I am the Lord your God. I'm the one who saved you out of Egypt. I'm the one who's brought you to myself. Obey me and you will live. I am the Lord. Then he quotes from Deuteronomy 30. From verse 11, now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. See, Leviticus 18 and Deuteronomy 30 are saying the same thing. Obedience leads to life. Obedience leads to life. So you read, as it is in our Bibles, not a good translation, it's like a contrast. And it's not as if Moses in Leviticus 18 thought, okay, salvation by works, you do this and God will accept you. And then, oh, actually, I got that wrong. In Deuteronomy 30, now it's by faith. The correct translation is saying, they're saying the same thing. Always by faith. Always by obedience. Obedience leads to life. See, the opposite of faith is not obedience. The opposite of faith is disobedience. The opposite of faith is unbelief. See, obedience leads to life. Faith leads to life. That's what Moses taught. See, God always looked for a heart response. Never about externals. He always looked for a heart response to God and what he had done. And his grace. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Brought them to himself and said, I've loved you. Your response is to love me, accept me and love me. Always look for that heart response. And that's what Jesus said as well in Matthew 7. This is our Lord speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And down at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. See, for Moses, faith leads to life, obedience leads to life. For Jesus, faith leads to life, obedience leads to life. And also for the Apostle Paul in Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 7. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. See, God has been saying, God always looked for a heart response. See, a true Jew was someone who was a Jew internally. who had a circumcised heart, a changed heart. And that's what Romans 2 says a bit further on. A person is not a Jew who is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Now, showing these verses to show that, see, the opposite of faith is not obedience. Okay? They're linked together. And the Apostle Paul, the response that he wanted is the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. The obedience that comes from faith. Now, to help us see this even more, I take us now to Mark 12, where Jesus is interacting with a Jewish leader. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. That's Jesus debating with other people there in the temple. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus saying, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He saved Israel. He's God. The response was to love him and the neighbor. And verse 32, "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far from getting that God always wanted a heart response. You're not far from getting that God never wanted just externals. He wanted a loving heart response to the love that he had lavished on his people." Jesus said, "You're not far. You're getting it." See, faith is not the opposite of obedience. Faith leads to life. Obedience leads to life. And it's always been by faith. That's the point here. It's always been by faith. So we go back to Romans 10 again and see how the apostle, he links Deuteronomy 30 with the word about Jesus. Remember, Christ is the end of the law, what the law pointed to. So don't say in your heart, "Who will ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down. Or, "Who will descend into the deep?" That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your heart, "Jesus is Lord." Sorry, declare with your mouth. A bit hard to declare with your heart, isn't it? But heart, from your heart you speak, of course. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the message of faith that we've heard, isn't it? The word of Christ has come to us. It's come into our hearts. It's changed us, hasn't it? We're able to confess Jesus is Lord. By ourselves, we couldn't do that, could we? By ourselves, we cannot believe that God raised him from the dead. The word of grace has come to us into our hearts and changed us and changing us. It's all about faith. Faith of Moses and the people, then faith for us as well. That's what's happened to us. Changing our hearts, circumcised our hearts, taken away the heart of a sinful heart, given us a new heart that enables us to believe and obey. But how does that faith happen? And that's true for anyone, Jew or Gentile. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How does faith happen? How did we become a Christian? How does anyone become a Christian? Here it is. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they never heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When I was about 10 years old, I remember being in a Sunday school class. And I think up to that point, I was trapped into thinking, oh, if I'm good, God will accept me. If I'm good, God will accept me. But I remember hearing my cousin teach me in that Sunday school class. It's not about externals. It's not about what we do. It's all what God has done and what God does in us. My cousin had beautiful feet. She brought that good news to me. Now, it took me about 8 more years or so to really understand it. Lots of people with other beautiful feet had to keep teaching me, but eventually understood. It's not about externals. It's about faith. Think back to how you became a Christian. How did that happen? Somewhere, somebody along the line spoke to you about Jesus. Perhaps several times. Hundreds of times, perhaps. See, faith in Jesus comes from hearing the message. You can't believe unless you hear the message, of course. And it's not just a one-off response, is it? It's an ongoing response. Now, a question for you. What do you think is the most important piece of equipment in this church building? What's the most important piece of equipment in this church building? I'm not thinking about non-people. Non-people. The microphone. That's right. The microphone. Why? Faith comes from hearing the word. If this microphone... Now, I'm just turning it off for a second, Paul. It's me, okay? You hear? That's why we spent a fair bit of money on getting a good sound system. Most important piece of equipment. It's no good if people can't hear, is it? And this is the process God has worked out. And remember I said last week, when we think about God chooses people, you might think we do nothing. Well, we do two things. One, we pray. And secondly, we proclaim. That's the way God has chosen to bring in his elect people. Faith only comes from hearing the word. So God's electing of people doesn't mean we sit back. We pray and we proclaim. And that's how it happens. You can't believe in someone you don't hear about, do you? You can't, and the person must be sent. See, it's a process, isn't it? You can go one way or the other. Someone's sent, they proclaim, people hear, and they believe. Or how can they believe? Well, they've got to hear something. How do they hear something? Someone's got to preach to them. How does the preacher come? Well, they've got to be sent. Last night at about 8 o'clock, I got a call from Campbelltown Hospital. Somebody in the hospital was dying. And to be honest, I thought, no. This is the last thing I wanted to do, honestly. And I just played cricket the afternoon. I was smelly and I was a mess. But I thought, hang on. Here is an opportunity. Here is an opportunity to be beautiful feet. So I literally had a shower. I couldn't have gone in my whites. They were pretty stinky. Had a shower and went to this lady who was dying with her family. And spoke the word about Jesus to her. And remembering this passage helped a lot. How would she ever come to faith? I'm not sure whether she was a Christian or not, but how could she come to faith or grow in faith? Only by someone speaking to her. And in God's kindness, I had that role last night with that person. Faith comes from hearing the word. But sadly for the Israelites, as the word went out, over and over again, they refused to believe. Did they have opportunity to believe? Of course they did. Did they not understand about the Gentiles coming in? Of course they did. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held up my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Again and again, the Jews, the ancient people of God, those in the physical line of Abraham, kept saying no and no and no. God, we don't believe you. Now you might think at that point, well, that's it for Israel. God has rejected those in the physical line of Abraham. Is that it? Come back next week, look at Romans chapter 11. And see God's plan for Israel and how we need to respond to Israel today. To finish off, God has always looked for a heart response. He's always looked for a heart response. It's always been by faith. It's always been by a heart response of trust leading to obedience. And this is not a one-off decision. Yes, we decide, yes, become a Christian, or it might be a process. But as we come to hear the word of God, we're called to respond by believing the word of God and acting upon it. And it's always been that way. And the great news is, it can be done. See, the word isn't up there. Out of our reach, Jesus has come. He's incarnate. He's the God-man. And the word isn't down there. Jesus isn't dead. No, he's been raised from the dead. The word is near you, near us. It's in our hearts. We can trust and obey what God says. And as we get to Romans 12 to 16, we see how this life of faith plays out in practice. We see how this life of obedience plays out in practice. It can be done. And that is great assurance for me as the pastor here. You can do it. I can't make you do it, but God does. It's great assurance as I preach this word, you can get it. If it was true for Moses, how much more true for us? Jesus has come. The Spirit has come. You can do it. You can hear this word and trust and obey it. For those who teach Scripture, as you go to the school, as you teach those kids who might be restless and annoying and all that kind of thing, you have beautiful feet and the word will take effect. They can do it. Bible study leaders, those involved in the missional groups, as the word goes out, people can respond. And they do, don't they? Us being here is an example of that. It's a great encouragement as the word goes out for those who give the word. People can do it. And also a great encouragement for us as we receive the word. We can trust it. We can do it. It's always been by faith. And it can be done. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you so much that the word is in our hearts, it's in our mouth. Thank you that you've changed our hearts. We can trust you, we can obey you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of grace about Jesus, who's come and paid for our sin, laid in a tomb, crucified. Crucified, laid in a tomb. But raised from the dead. Thank you for those who preach the word to us. Father, thank you that the word takes effect. We can respond. Others can respond. Help us go forward in faith, trusting you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.